This is kind of an unusual subject, and I need and I'm dependent on the Lord to help me to get out what He's put on my heart. Hooked or committed? And I want to start by expressing how this subject came about. One day, I was really happy in the Lord. I guess you would say I was bubbling. And I was just thinking about the Lord, and I thought, I'm just hooked on the Lord. That was my thought. This is me and the Lord. And the Lord dropped this thought on my heart, and He worked with it, for it took me a while. Hooked. And I kept thinking and everything. And so I started researching the words hooked. And I thought, hooked or, and He just developed it. So I hope you'll get out of it what I got out of it. So when I looked online from dictionarycambridge.org, hooked means to be enjoying something so much that you are unable to stop having it, watching it, or doing it. That's what hooked means, being hooked on it. It's like being addicted, right? And then committed means loyal and willing to give your time and energy to something you believe in. So I went search farther. I kept searching, and I found the synonyms. Both of these words end up with the synonym devoted. And so, but there's a difference in them. If you'll notice that in hooked, the person doesn't have the will. They get involved, and people get hooked on different things. Some of them get hooked on drugs. Some of them get hooked on alcohol. Some of them get hooked on cigarettes. It's like they get, like it says, enjoyment so much that you are unable to stop it. And then I thought, I understand why the Lord dealt with me about that. Because to live for God and to love God, you're not hooked on Him. You're committed to Him. It's a difference. You're devoted to Him. When I was teaching, they had a program called Hooked on Phonics. You heard that, sure, I'm sure, right? So what that means, it's supposed to get you so involved in it that it helps you to learn to read, of course. But it's something that you really enjoy, supposedly. God wants us to enjoy salvation. He wants us to be devoted to Him, but in the way that our will is involved in it. That's the difference. We will to live for Him. He doesn't force Himself on you. You know, the devil forces himself on people. He does. He'll make you do some things that later on you look at and you thought, I never would do it. But God doesn't make you do anything. He gives you the opportunity to do it. He invites you to do it. He wants you to live for Him. There's a blessing in being committed and devoted to Him, but He won't force you. He doesn't force Himself in. The devil will knock you down and drag you to make you do what He wants you to do. That's why it's good not to be on his territory. That's why it's good to forsake the devil and his ways, because he will make you do things you didn't want to do. There's a song that we sing sometimes. It says, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will leave you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. The devil, that's his tactic. But God's tactic is entreating us and getting us to do what he wants you to do. There's a scripture that says, he worketh in us the will and to do of his good pleasure. He will give you in your heart the will to do his pleasure, what he wants you to do. He'll give you that will. He'll help you do it, but he won't force you. If you say no, he will not make you do it. And I was thinking about from the beginning, this is how God made us. He made us with the will. It is not his intent for us to be knocked down, dragged out about, and forced to do anything. That's why it's not good to be involved with those things that have control over you and you have no control over it. God wants us to have our right mind, and he wants us to have control over the things we do. Let's look at Psalms 37 and 5.
Psalms 37
and 5.
And 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
See what that says, commit. When we live for the Lord, we're going to commit our way unto the Lord. We're going to commit our lives to him. We're going to live what's called a committed life. But we're devoted to him. So that means that I do it out of my own free will and my own desire. You know, we have children. When we parents, we have a child and we tell them to come here and they don't come here, what do we do? That's right. We make them. But God does not beat you into doing what he wants you to do. He does not do it that way. He entreats you. Let's go to Proverbs 16 and 3.
Proverbs 16 and 3?
Yes.
Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established.
Commit thy works unto the Lord. That means you willingly give your works to the Lord, and he's going to establish your thoughts. You're not going to be wishy-washy. You're not going to be unstable because you have given yourself willingly to God. Psalms 119 and 30. So I guess in a sense, the Lord was kind of straightening my thoughts out. I'm thinking, I'm hooked on the Lord. And he let me know it's not hooked. You're committed to God.
Psalm 119 and 30.
Mm-hmm.
I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I had before me.
We have a choice in it, don't we? He gave it to us that way. He gave us a choice. I want us to look at what happened in the beginning. Let's go to Genesis 3 and 1. See how God established mankind with a will to do what he would have them to do. Yes, he wants us to do right. And yes, he wants us to follow his ways. But he planned from the beginning to have creatures, his creation, to will to do what he tells them to do.
Genesis 3:1.
Yes.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knoweth that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden.
Okay. Now look what happened. God told them not to eat of the fruit of that tree. They knew it, right? He did not make them obey him, but he told them what he expected of them. And they knew it. It was plain. It was no doubt about this is not to be touched. And she even said that he said that if you eat of it, and neither shall you touch it, lest you die. That was God's command. But when the serpent came and he beguiled her and he told her that you're not going to die, he defied God by saying that, because God said you're going to die and he's saying you're not going to die. You see what the devil is like? He's a liar, and he was a liar from the beginning and never abode in the truth. Some of those people thinking that he was in heaven and he fell out of heaven, they're so mistaken, because the scripture said he never abode in the truth. So he lied to her that she would not die. And so then she began to look at the tree, the fruit. And she thought, you know, it's good to eat, and it's also good to make you wise. Because he said he knows that if you eat of it, you're going to be wise as gods. So he got to her pride and made her think she's going to be wise as gods, knowing good and evil. She didn't realize there were serious consequences to that. And so she went on and she ate of it. And she gave to her husband that was there. It looked like he would have said, no, Eve, you shouldn't do it. But he's standing there, and he takes it. And their eyes were open. Of course, when their eyes became open, the consequences are they began to know good and evil. They began to realize they were naked. They tried to put on fig leaves. But let's read a little bit farther.
Verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Okay, you can stop there. So the woman disobeyed because she had a will. Her will, she could have chosen to obey, or she could have chosen, she chose not to obey. We have a will. God designed it, that we could have a will and that we could choose to live for him or not, or choose to obey him or not. And so the man, the same, they both had to be punished. Do you know death came upon the whole human race because of this? So we don't live forever. We die. There was in the midst of the garden, the tree of life. They had to be driven from that garden so that they wouldn't take of the tree of life and live forever. Death passed on all men. Just because the devil told them not that they wouldn't die, he lied to them because they died a spiritual death. And not only did they die a spiritual death, natural death passed on all mankind because of this. But we have a will. That's the point. God designed for us to will to do. He gets pleasure in us wanting to do what he wants us to do. And not just doing it because we feel like we have to. So, when you think of a committed life, you think of devotion. One that's devoted to God. I live for God because I want to live for God. I do the things I do because it's voluntary. It's not forced on me. So when I choose to live for God, God is pleased. And there are blessings to being, for choosing God's way. There are blessings for being devoted to God. When a person is devoted to God, they're kind of wrapped up in him. And I just wanted to kind of go over a little song, but we're not going to sing it right now. But it says, I'm bubbling, I'm bubbling. Read it. It's bubbling.
It's bubbling. It's bubbling. It's bubbling. It's bubbling in my soul. I'm singing. I'm laughing since Jesus made me whole. Some folks can't understand it. I just can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling. It's bubbling. It's bubbling in my soul. I'm wrapped up. I'm tied up. I'm tangled up in Jesus. I'm wrapped up. I'm tied up. I'm tangled up in Jesus. I'm wrapped up, I'm tied up, I'm tangled up in Jesus. Jesus is my all in all.
See what that word says? I'm wrapped up, I'm tied up, I'm tangled up in Jesus. Jesus is my all in all. But you see why? It's not Jesus came and got a yoke or something around me and pulled me and tied me up like that. No. I choose to be wrapped up and tied up and tangled up in Jesus because Jesus is my all in all. This is what God wants. He wants a life of Christ that you love to live for him. You are enjoying him. It's your all in all. You're devoted to him. You're committed to him. And so we can be encouraged to be committed to God. We can be encouraged to be free. Salvation makes us free. You notice that word wrapped up and tied up. It sounds like you're bound, but it's a freedom. I'm wrapped up, I'm tied up because he's all in all. He's all around me. Everything I have, I love and give to him. That is being wrapped up. It's not being wrapped up because I'm, you know, like you go in jail and they put the handcuffs on you and all that. Not that kind of wrapped up. It's wrapped up because it's all I want. It's all I love. It's all I enjoy. I enjoy when I wake up in the morning and I read the word of God, I'm happy. I enjoy the word. It's food to me. It's not, oh, today I guess I better read the word of God because if I don't read it, I won't do well. No. I go in there looking. What you got for me today, Lord? What food do you have for me? This is the kind of life he wants us to have. A committed life to where we are happy in the Lord every day. No matter what happens, no matter how bad things are, we can be happy in him and rejoicing in him and free. Nobody's making me. Nobody forces me. Nobody say putting a gun to my head and say, if you don't do it, I'm going, no. I'm free out of my free will. I do it because I love him and because he's done so much for me. I want us now to look at some people in the Bible that God, that love God that way. But before we do that, I want to read a couple more scriptures. Deuteronomy 30 and 15. This is what the Lord has set before us. This is the way the Lord wants his people to live, to choose his way.
Deuteronomy 13 and 15.
30 and 15. I'm telling you, if you walking around, boy, it's me, and you feeling sorry that look like I'm missing out on all the pleasures, I feel sorry for you. You missed what God has for you, because what God has is great treasures. It's a wonderful way to live.
Okay, Deuteronomy 30 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil.
Choose. Doesn't it say choose?
It doesn't. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments.
Okay. He set before us life and good. The thing, good life, or death and evil. We have a choice. Life, we can choose life and good, or we can choose death and evil. Do you know if we go the evil way, the devil's way, it's death and evil. But if we go God's way, it's life and good. It's a happy life. It's a wonderful life. That's what God says he set before us. All humankind, mankind, has been given this choice. It's been set before every one of us when we are born into this world, when we get old enough to make choices, we have the choice before us. Good, life and good, or death and evil. Let's go to Joshua 24 and 15.
Joshua 24 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whom land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Notice what he said. If it seem what? Evil unto you, choose you this day whom you will serve. We get to choose whom we'll serve. Do we want to serve the Lord? It's God, it's life and good. Or do we want to serve the devil? It's death and evil. It's no good in the way to serve him. But to serve God is all good. Some people say all good. It's all good. It's a win-win situation when you serve the Lord. All right. But Joshua said, whatever you choose, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what I say. You have the choice. Choose you this day whom you serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All right, let's go now. I want to show you some people that were devoted to the Lord and how it's a blessing to live a devoted or a committed life to God. Luke 2 and 25. When we say in the Bible, when it says a certain person was a devout person, that means that that person was devoted to God. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to light, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So you see, he was a devout man. He was very devoted to God. And God had revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the Christ. And he did. And now he was saying, in other words, let me go now because I've seen thy salvation. I want to share a little something to you. One time, a few years ago, right after my husband died, I got where I couldn't walk. I really did. If I walked, my knee would take away, would give way, and I never knew when that would happen. So I was used to ride in a wheelchair, motorized chair. And I was in Monarch one year, and I had a walker, and I had my cane, and I was in the family unit, and I got ready to turn the light off, and my knee gave way. The walker couldn't help me because it was not locked, and I fell on that concrete floor. And then another time I was in the restroom and my knee gave way to me and I actually had to call for my stepson to come get me. Now you can imagine what that felt like. But I had no choice because I was going down. The Lord spoke to me and told me, I will heal you. And I believed that. And so I decided I would just step out in faith. One night I was in Oklahoma City and I was getting ready to walk. My leg knee gave way on me and I had to catch on. But I can tell you, when the Lord got ready to heal me, I walked. And I walked in that church and the people were amazed from the front to the back. Where they had started to put me in a wheelchair and taking me to. But what I'm saying is, like he revealed to Simeon, he revealed that to me and he was faithful. Today I don't walk like really good, but I can walk. And the thing that happened is my right knee, I have arthritis. I had arthritis in my right, and I had arthritis a little bit in the left, but mostly in the right. That was the one. The Lord healed me, and my right knee is better than the other one. That's just how God is. He can do anything. If you are devoted to God, he can do anything for you if you ask, or if you just trust him. So I want to encourage us, let's live a devoted life, a committed life to God. It's not from one that we have to. It's no good if we just feel like we have to do it. But if we do it out of our free will, God will surely bless us. Now we want to read some more people. Acts 10 and 1 and 2. We'll read some more about some more people that were committed to the Lord or devout people.
Acts 10 and
1 and 2.
1 and 2. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always.
Look how he lived before God. He was devout. He was devoted to God. He prayed always. He gave alms. He feared God. And of course, if we read the rest of the story, we'll know that God had him to send for Peter. And Peter came and told him about Jesus because he was living to all he knew, but he didn't know all of what God had for him. And so God provided him the knowledge that Jesus had come to save and to for their sins and everything. And so he was already saved because he already was doing all that he knew. And the Lord, even in that day, this man and his wife, they accepted the truth and God blessed them to be sanctified. So God has blessings for us if we will just commit our lives to us. It's worth it. It is so worth it. Now let's go to Genesis 5, 21 to 25. The committed life is the wonderful life. It's a life of peace and joy, but there's also blessings that come upon our lives because of it. One look at another man in the Bible called Enoch. In Genesis 5 and 21, 25 tells about it. And then we're going to read about Enoch in Hebrew. Enoch was a devout man too. He was devoted to God.
Genesis 5 and 21, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, but God took him.
Look at what he did. He didn't even have to die a natural death. God took him. He walked with God. That he was devoted to God. Now let's go to Hebrews and see what it says about Enoch. 11 and 5.
Hebrews 11 and 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God.
He pleased God. That's how. He wouldn't have had that blessing. How many of us would like to just be translated, not even have to die? That's the only man I know. Except maybe you could say Elijah, because he took him up in a chariot. But all of us, the rest of us, we have to die. But he pleased God. That's how that happened to him, because he pleased God. There are blessings for pleasing God and living for him and being committed to him. So we want to go back to Psalms 37, and we want to read 5 again and 6.
Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday.
Yes. So if you commit your way to the Lord and trust in him, he's going to bless you. He's going to bring your righteousness as a light. You're going to be a light in this world. You're not going to be the same. You're going to be different because of God in us. And so we want to be encouraged to live a committed life. And I want to tell you, it's not hooked, but it's committed to God. I want Sarah and somebody to come up here and help me sing this song. It's bubbling, that one. Come on, Sarah, you start it. Let's sing it together.
It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. I'm singing, I'm laughing, since Jesus made me whole. Some folks can't understand it, but I just can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling, 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 it's bubbling in my soul. I'm wrapped up, I'm tied up, I'm tangled up in Jesus. I'm wrapped up, I'm tied up, I'm tangled up in Jesus. I'm wrapped up, I'm tied up, I'm tangled up in Jesus. Jesus is my all in all, all in all in all. Jesus is my all in all, all in all in all. Jesus is my all in all.
Pray for me.